I came to him to be healed. Jesus' reputation as a healer of illnesses and someone who could cast out demons had spread across the land. He was also known as a rabbi and known for teaching some pretty interesting things. But for the most part, for people who were desperate like me, he was known as a healer. Now, I hate to remember, but I know it'll seem strange for your time and culture to hear this, but there was a time when I myself was possessed by demons. My life was horrible, but there were other stories like this too. There was a man once who was mute, and Jesus touched him and healed him, and suddenly he could speak. There was another man who was mute and blind. Jesus touched him. He could speak and see. One time, there was a man who had this very young son who was possessed by demons, and Jesus' disciples tried to heal him, but they failed. But Jesus was successful. But not before this young boy was thrown to the ground by these demons into convulsions. There was a time, too, when my body was possessed by 7 demons. I felt helpless and hopeless until I heard a story come to me from across the sea. You see, I come from a village called Magdala on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. On the east side is a town called Gergesa. Now, Jesus and his disciples had gotten into a boat and arrived on the shores of Gergesa. And there was a man there who was possessed by a legion of demons. And he ran up to Jesus and asked why Jesus had come. And this poor man, he would destroy himself and rip his clothes and hurt himself. The villagers had sent him to live in the tombs. They were so frightened of him. And at one point they had chained his hands to the ground, hoping to protect himself from himself. But he was so strong with all those demons that he broke free. But when he charged up to Jesus, Jesus was not intimidated. He immediately cast those demons out of this man and sent them into a herd of nearby pigs. And those 2,000 pigs ran down the side of a mountain and into the sea to their death. Now the villagers were not quite sure what Jesus would do next. They were a bit frightened. And if it were me, I would have rejoiced that this villager was free of these demons. But no, instead they sent Jesus away. But when I heard this story, I knew that I needed to meet this Jesus, and I needed to be healed too. And I did meet him, and he did heal me. And like my Gerasene predecessor, as soon as I was clean and free of the possession of demons, I was ready to listen to the teachings of Jesus. Now, rabbis during our time were not known for having women as disciples. They were also not known as making their teachings very accessible to women, but Jesus was different. From the beginning of his ministry, he always made his teachings and parables accessible to women. For instance, when he shared the parable of the lost sheep, he immediately shared the parable of the lost coin, where a woman cleans her house and finds a coin. Or the time when he shared the parable of the mustard seed. Right after that, he shared the parable of a woman adding leaven to her dough as she was making bread. He was revolutionary. And I knew, because of my family status and my place in society, that I could easily leave my family and follow Jesus. And because of my means, I also wanted to support his ministry. And there were other women too. Johanna, Susanna, and I were kind of this threesome, this cohort that formed. They too were healed by Jesus, and they wanted to support his ministry. So we kind of hung together. We kind of broke the mold at that time, because the tradition is if you're traveling throughout the land and if you're staying overnight, you need to stay with relatives. Well, often the places Jesus went, we didn't have relatives nearby, so we kind of had to make do with whatever hospitality was available to us. And you know, It wasn't a comfortable lifestyle, but I wouldn't have traded it for the world, because we got to learn from Jesus' teachings, we got to witness miracles, and we got to see the kingdom of God deepen and widen. So yes, Jesus was our teacher and our rabbi, but you know, he was our friend. And I suppose because of that, it made it so much harder when he started speaking of his own death. There was a time when disciples of John the Baptist asked Jesus why his disciples did not fast, and Jesus replied, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they?" I think that sums up our naive group of disciples. We just could not imagine not having our leader, no matter how well he prepared us. But even then, he knew what lay ahead. He told those same men, "But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." Those days have arrived. I have been fasting since Thursday, when Jesus was arrested. Our dream of the kingdom of God came crashing down as we watched our leader being led like a lamb to the slaughter. Friday, he was crucified. Mary, Salome, and I witnessed the horrific event. We wept and cried. And then a man from the Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea, carried Jesus' body to this tomb. He laid him in the tomb, and Nicodemus the Pharisee brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes for Jesus' body. They prepared his body, and then we watched as Joseph rolled this huge stone in front of the entryway. And then they just left. But how could we leave? We had stood with Jesus during his whole ministry and his arrest and his crucifixion, but our strength was gone. You know, Jesus was fond of quoting the Psalms, so it seems fitting that in that moment, the words of the psalmist brought me comfort as they graced my lips. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and a song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my soul. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him." We had to stay away from the tomb on Saturday, as it was the Sabbath and also Passover. And at sunrise this morning, Salome, Mary, Johanna, and I arrived at the spot so that we may also anoint Jesus' body. But we weren't sure how we would roll away the stone, but we knew we'd find a way. And we were shocked when we arrived, and here the stone had already been moved. We were terrified. We found a man in a white robe, and we bowed our faces to the ground, and we heard him ask, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? You are seeking Jesus the Nazarene, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Look, here's the place where they laid his body." The tomb was empty, except for this strange man. He encouraged us to seek out Peter and the other disciples. to let them know that Jesus was doing as he promised and would go ahead of them to Galilee. We left the tomb in a hurry. We weren't sure what to do. We were shaking and nervous, and I said, I'll go tell the others, but no one wanted to come with me. They were too afraid. So I've just returned from this errand, and I just don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit here and wait.
The tomb is completely empty. Is the face cloth gone too?
Linen strips are here. They're holding nothing but air. I don't see it. Wait, here it is. Hold it up neatly, apart from the rest.
What does this mean?
Could someone have stolen the corpse?
Who would do such a thing?
The same people who demanded he be crucified? Look, this could be dangerous.
You're probably right.
It wasn't enough that they tortured and killed him. They had to steal him too. This isn't fair. Where's my Lord? Oh.
My dear lady, why are you weeping?
Who are you?
We are keeping vigil. Dear woman, why are you so sad?
They've taken my Lord away. And I don't know where they've put him. Oh, if you just tell me, just please, and I can bring him back from here.
Dear woman, why are you weeping? Who do you seek?
Sir, are you the gardener? Have you taken my Lord? Just tell me where he is and I'll take him away. Please just tell me.
Mary.
Rabboni. Oh, you're alive, Jesus, you're alive. I'm so happy.
Mary, you have to let me go. You need to go to the disciples and tell them I'm alive. And you need to tell them that I ascend to the Father and their Father, to my God and their God.
The testimony of a woman is not taken seriously and is often suspect. But even knowing this, Jesus chose to tell me first. He chose me, a woman, to share the news of his resurrection. I knew the disciples would have a hard time believing me when I delivered the news. But how could I decline this errand from my risen Lord? He would eventually appear to them too, and then they would believe. And you know, as we reflected on Jesus' life, we came to understand many of the scriptures prophesied the very things that we witnessed firsthand. There was no question. Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, the Messiah, our rabbi. We were the honored few who got to walk with him during his ministry, and I, a woman who was once possessed by demons, will always have the honor of being the first person to witness his resurrection. He was the light of the world, and though darkness reigned for a moment, that light could not be snuffed out. In him was life, And the life was the light of all people.